you said, my name's Lee Atwell. I'm actually a PhD student under Dr. Jason Kreutz from Mississippi State University, based out of the Stoneville Station. That's in the Mississippi Delta. And Mr. Satterfield actually was with us for some time, but he was hired actually by one of the people that funded this project. So I'll be giving the talk today. I've been pretty involved with this project. And so to get started, our irrigation use in rice is the number one most used source of irrigation water in the Mississippi Delta over corn and cotton and soybean. So we account for the most acre inches or hectare millimeters per acre by crop use. So in Mississippi, the movement here of late has been to regulate the amount of water that we're able to pump. So in Mississippi, that number is actually around 370 hectare millimeters or 36 acre inches. So in Mississippi, we have several different production systems in place. We have a contour levee system, straight levee system, straight levee using multiple side inlet, which is using polypipe to distribute the water evenly into each paddy. And then our gold standard is zero grade. We don't have a lot of zero grade land in Mississippi due to the fact of soybean rotation and our other row crops. So that being said, a big push has been made to go to side inlet. We can reduce the water that we have to pump on the rice pretty significantly and pay for the pipe, and it is a pretty good system for us. But in the last couple of years, with places in the North Delta like Arkansas and the Boot Hill, Missouri, there's been some interest in row watering rice. So that's really what this study was based upon. And we tried to address some of the main problems that our producers have, one being disease pressure, cultivar selection for these production systems, weed control, how does our weed control change when we move to a furrow irrigation in rice, and how do we manage our nutrients and fertility? And at the end of the day, what's our yield cost or benefit associated with that production system? So some of our objectives for this study were to establish a water level threshold and just basically a way to trigger irrigation events without reducing grain yield. We also wanted to determine the optimum weed control programs in these row water systems and to validate the use of furrow irrigation techniques on farm on our growers' fields. So with that being said, we looked at three different experiments. I'm going to go through one of them more in detail than the other two, but we basically set this experiment up as a split plot design in small plots there in Stoneville with main plot as our water level. We had a continuous flood, which is the most used production water management production system. We had an optimized alternate wetting and drying, which is keeping that full flood on the rice 10 to 21 days after we apply our pre-flood nitrogen, and then allowing the flood to subside before we irrigate again. We're actually taking that 10 centimeters below the soil surface, and I'll show you here in just a second how we're actually triggering those. And then a furrow irrigation environment using 10 centimeters, 20 centimeters, 30 centimeters, and 40 centimeters below the soil surface. So this is just a depiction on how our field was laid out. There's four quadrants, and those are our four reps, and we're able to irrigate each of the row watered treatments individually and monitor how much water irrigation water we're actually pumping onto those. On the right is actually how we trigger our irrigations within each paddy or each water treatment, and that all it is a Erie came out with a publication describing these field pipes where it's just a piece of PVC and we drill holes in it, excavate a hole, and drop this in the hole. We can see the water level below the soil surface. So using that just basic technology, we were able to schedule our irrigations. We also looked at herbicide. programs. We had a conventional and a clear-field herbicide program, and we compared those from an AWD or from a continuous flowed environment to the furrow irrigation. And what we saw this 1 year of data was that there wasn't any difference in herbicide control of barnyard grass in the furrow irrigated environment as compared to the continuous. This year was an extremely wet year, so when we go into some of the water use data and yield data, mind you that we had extremely high amount of rainfall. The solid line was actually this year, whereas the dotted line was 2015, where we really didn't have a lot of rain. So the nitrogen management issue or aspect of this project is a pretty big one. So we looked at six different nitrogen management splits, I guess. We put a 100% pre-flood out. We had a 50-50 split where we put 50% of the nitrogen out at pre-flood and then 50% out in mid-season. Did a 75-25% split, 50% pre-flood and a and putting 25% out at PD and then the rest at boot, and then a spoon feeding method where we put out four shots of 25% of our total nitrogen applied. When we look at yield for the nitrogen split, there was not an interaction for the water level and and in split. So this is just our yield for that. What we found was that the 10 centimeter and 20 centimeter were less than the yielded less than the continuous and AWD treatments. So for the nitrogen, again, there's no interaction. So our 100% pre-flood was pretty good, but also our other splits did well over all of the water management treatments. For the variety trial grain yield, we noticed a pretty significant trend in cultivar selection. So our Rystec hybrid actually yielded better for each of the water treatments as compared to the other two varieties. So the big thing for us is water use, and if we're able to reduce the amount of water use within each within these fields and still maintain yield. So we actually had a yield reduction for the row water environment. However, our water use decreased dramatically. So we do think that this system does have potential. However, we still have to work to maximize it. When we look at water use efficiency for these, our continuous flood had the lowest water use efficiency, which is kilograms of grain yield per unit of water applied. So our continuous flood had the lowest water use efficiency, and our optimized AWD was a bit better. But once we started getting into the row water treatments, we really bumped up that water use efficiency. So like I said, bringing all these data points together, we think it does have potential. We just think it has to be optimized before we're actually able to make that recommendation to our growers. So we had our economists sit down and look at some of these yield numbers. We did it on farm and in the small plots. And so we took a model that with a projected yield and a projected water use amount and calculated our total expense and profitability. And compared to a continuous flood for both the hybrid and a conventional line, we are, prices aren't very great right now, but we're still able to save a good bit of money, and that is mostly associated with several trips across the field, going from soybean to rice rotation, and also water use. So that being said, like I said, we think this program has potential. We still have a lot of work to do to build the program as far as our fertility, weed control, and establishing this safe threshold where we can maintain yield potential. So with that, I'd like to thank my major professor and Mr. Satterfield and Horizon Ag and Rice Tech for funding this research, and I'll try to answer any questions. We don't have, the question was, do we have any drip irrigation? You mean subsurface drip?
Subsurface.
Yes, so there's not much as far as pivots go. There's not many pivots. People are actually taking pivots out, which we're trying to tell them not to do because we do think it does have potential. And here in the next couple of years, we actually are putting in some pivot trials for rice. For subsurface irrigation, it's almost non-existent where we are. It's just a vast amount of acres, and it hasn't really caught on with our growers. So about 100%, probably 90% of our irrigated acres are furrow irrigated using polypipe. So. Yeah, I mean, there's a few, vegetable growers that sell in South Delta, but no.
Do they have any issues with our water quality?
Yeah.
What they would have to add to the lines, clean and drill, would add to the cost. And it's already very costly.
Right. Yes, sir.
Did you see any interaction between fertility level and water insufficiency?
We did not. Water use efficiency is based upon water use. So grain yield per unit of water use. So we were actually able to increase our water use efficiencies with those, decreasing thresholds of our row water use. So I mean, we do think it does have potential to increase water use efficiency, but at the end of the day, we have to maintain profitability for our growers, so that's a big issue.
Let me ask the same question. Could you reduce your nitrogen requirement by using this reduced water?
The question was, could we reduce the amount of nitrogen applied?
Yeah, could you maybe use less nitrogen, need less nitrogen?
Well, we think actually to increase grain yield, that would be equal to the continuous flow, we may have to increase our nitrogen actually, because in a continuous flood, we actually apply our nitrogen, we hold that nitrogen for 21 days. That gives our plant time to take up the nitrogen without it being converted and lost. So we think that's the main issue with the nitrogen management, is that we're not allowing the time for that nitrogen to be taken up by the plant. So we may have to, supplement more nitrogen. But at the end, is it going to pay for itself in terms of yield at the end of the year? Great question.
Thank you, our speaker.
Thank you.